restaurants struggle to keep employees and lure customers in the year ahead. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. This labor market is a tough one for the restaurant industry. There's low unemployment with people working more and shifting jobs more rapidly. A recent report from the NPD Group said the restaurant industry will probably see little to no growth throughout 2018. NPD says to fight stagnation, restaurants should focus on keeping the staff they have and improving customer service. And for cost-conscious and time-strapped eaters, more convenience, like letting customers order online. Sometimes staying competitive requires a bit of streamlining. Take the restaurant chain Chili's, which recently decided to slash the number of items on its menu by 40%. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank has more on that chain's efforts to stay relevant.
So long, buffalo fried cauliflower and mango chili tilapia. Chili's new menu sticks to its staples like burgers, fajitas, and baby back ribs. Bonnie Riggs with NPD Group says menus at these chains have gotten too complex.
These restaurant operators know what their best-selling menu items are and where their profit margins are good. Don't try to be everything to everybody.
Chili's acknowledged it has a, quote, fuzzy food reputation and will now turn to boosting the quality of remaining menu items. That move comes as the price difference between eating at home versus eating out is the widest in 30 years, which is hurting full-service restaurants.
We've been seeing 3 and 4% declines in traffic year after year.
Another challenge, says Nick Setian at Wedbush Securities, is that many of these restaurants are in malls and depend on shoppers wandering in.
Those occasions are declining as people go out less often to shop.
If Chili's new menu works, analyst Bonnie Riggs says, expect to see the strategy copied elsewhere. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
SpongeBob SquarePants and his friends in the underwater town of Bikini Bottom have been a pop culture juggernaut for 18 years now. It's a long-running TV show, a movie franchise, and branded merchandise galore. And now, as Marketplace's Erica Barris reports, SpongeBob is making his mark on the Broadway stage.
The musical cost SpongeBob's owner Nickelodeon between $15 and $20 million, according to Variety magazine, almost twice as much as a typical Broadway production. Kevin Sandler, who teaches media studies at the University of Arizona, points out the TV show's been a hit for nearly two decades with more than $13 billion in merchandise sales. Sandler says the character came along at a good moment, when cable TV was huge, but streaming services hadn't yet emerged.
SpongeBob, you know, captured an audience in 1999 in a way that it's really hard to do now and has just maintained its popularity.
And that popularity will most likely translate to strong sales for the musical, says Robert Thompson, a pop culture professor at Syracuse University.
Simply saying SpongeBob the musical would be enough to get people to throw money at it.
Thompson cites the success of other animations turned musicals like Disney's The Lion King and South Park's Book of Mormon. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
U.S. and European markets are closed for the holiday. But here are some numbers on Christmas decorations. Americans have China to thank for all the baubles, ornaments, and festive lights. The U.S. Census Bureau reports that $1.5 billion worth of Christmas tree decorations were imported from China last year. That's 92% of all our Christmas decor imports. China also gave us over $463 million worth of Christmas tree lights.
When it comes to news about the economy, Marketplace has got you covered. And when you donate $10 a month or more to support the work that we do, you can get a Marketplace umbrella to help protect you from stormy weather. The real thanks you'll get for your gift is when you listen every day, knowing that you're making it possible for Marketplace to make people smarter about the economy and why it matters. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and with your help, we'll be able to do more of it and reach more people as well. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org. And thank you.
It can be tough to study robotics if you don't have access to expensive machines. But now anyone, anywhere in the world, can sign up to watch robots in Atlanta, Georgia, and control them remotely by computer. The idea is to help scientists collaborate on research and give students access for their studies. WABE's Tasneem Shama takes us to the shiny new lab at Georgia Tech.
Dozens of robots are sitting on what looks like a large air hockey table in the Robotarium, an open robotics lab. A few fly overhead. Each robot is about 2 inches tall. They each have a Wi-Fi chip on top and small rubber wheels on the bottom. They're known as swarm robots.
Swarm robotics is the challenge of controlling a large number of robots without a central computer.
That's Georgia Tech's Sean Wilson. He says the idea is to mimic how animals, like honeybees and flocking birds, move together. The lab's inventor, Magnus Egerstedt, says it's designed to help students and scientists work with robots, even if they live far from this lab in Atlanta.
We've had biologists that are interested in social insects test their ideas. Traffic engineers who are looking at traffic congestion. People that are studying social interactions on Facebook test their algorithms for social dynamics.
The lab costs Georgia Tech $2.5 million. The program's funded by the National Science Foundation and Office of Naval Research. Renna Brown is a former public school teacher in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She visited the Robotarium recently and says she was like
a kid in a candy shop.
Brown now works as a consultant with mostly low-income schools and says the Open Access Robotics Lab is a game changer for students.
It gives them the opportunity to say, this is really something in terms of a form of technology that I can do.
Anyone can upload code and watch the robots interact through a live feed. Since it opened this fall, Georgia Tech's Sean Wilson says more than 60 scientists and school kids from Brazil to Pakistan have remotely controlled the robots. But what if it's hacked? The researchers say they've thought about that. There's a virtual barrier around the drones, and the lab tests all code people upload to block out viruses. In Atlanta, I'm Tasneem Shama for Marketplace.
And all this week, we're talking with those affected by man-made and natural disasters in 2017. Many communities are just beginning the recovery process. If you miss our coverage on air, it's online at marketplace.org. Today, we had a conversation with the mayor of Santa Rosa, California, about the town's recovery from the deadly Tubbs fire. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.